Hey, everybody. It is June 25th, 2021. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you today. Turned off that music rather abruptly. Didn't mean to do that. Sorry about that. We have a wonderful show today. New voices to be heard from Jeff Harris and Matt McQuillan. They're the co-founders and president, CEO, et cetera, of Xcello, X-E-L-L-O. That's at Xcello, X-E-L-L-O, .world, if you want to check it out while we're talking. Great software, great program for career and college readiness. And this company really interests me. It was a three-person startup a short time ago. Now it's 150 full-time employees. They've worked with 20,000 clients. They've helped 7 million students over the years to become future-ready, career-ready, et cetera. So we're going to have a great conversation with the founders, Matt and Jeff. Okay, as we proceed here, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, that ace-ed.org, which is the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, of which Education Talk Radio is the voice of the organization. And we get very involved with companies, educators, et cetera, talking a lot about equity, working every day towards equity. All right. We have our magazine, Equity and Access, reaches over 150,000 pre-K-12 educators in the U.S. and Canada. We get them involved in everything we do. Okay. We talk about access to education. We talk about equity. All our podcasts are over there. You are welcome to join. Everything we do over there is free for you at ace-ed.org. So please check it out. And without further ado, let me bring on the two and only Matt McQuillan and Jeff Harris. We'll start with Matt. Hi, Matt. Good morning. It's Larry here. And pardon my voice. I'm having an allergy attack. Other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, no worries. No worries at all. Thank you so much for having us, Larry. Good to meet you. And
thank you, sir.
It looked like a great program. I see you guys have been doing podcasts. You're not a flash in the pan. This has been going on
no.
for quite a while.
The pan has been on the stove since 2010. It's been a while now. Yeah, thank
amazing.
You. Thank you. What you guys do is absolutely amazing to me, but I want to say hello to Jeff. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Thanks for the great introduction. Pleasure to be with you today.
This looks like a great company, and we believe so much in industry voice, and I want to hear what you guys have to say because it looks like you're doing just great work out there, but I must read something. I asked Jeff for a brief resume, and I'm just going to read this, okay? Upon graduating with a degree in economics, Jeff realized he hadn't given serious consideration to his future beyond university. That was it. Okay, you like everybody else, my friend. Like everybody
Thank
else.
Thanks, Rick.
Right, you cracked me up. Have you decided on a career course since then? How long has it been since university? Well, that's a riot. Right, that's a riot.
Well, I've been able to avoid it by trying to help others. So I'm glad to hear I wasn't the only one. It seems I'm not.
No, you're not. You're not. It just cracked me up. And I love people who graduate with a degree in medieval dance, a bachelor's in medieval dance, and haven't thought about, is there a career in this? So economics is better than that. Okay. And have you thrown away your Paul Samuelson textbook yet? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah. My parents have.
Yeah, good. Keep it. You never know. Supply and demand. Okay, guns and butter. There you go. Everything I remember. Okay, let's start with Matt. Matt, tell us. And again, congratulations. You guys work with school district. You work with Osceola down in Florida, Osceola County. I just did a show with them a couple of weeks ago about all the things they're doing in STEM. Okay, you work with Vancouver,
yep.
Canada schools, you work with Fort Worth, I think. This is big
yep.
stuff, 20,000 clients, you've helped over
yep.
7 million students. Who knew what you guys were going to do? What was your degree in, Matt?
So I did business undergrad. My focus was more thinking about business opportunities, I guess. And
obviously,
but I didn't really
worked.
Have a – what's that?
Yeah, it worked. You did
good. Yeah, with a lot of help right. and a lot of collaboration. But, you know, really it was Jeff's, I don't know, Jeff, I don't want to call it a career crisis, but maybe that's fair. That was really the genesis of the idea. So, yeah, we were good friends growing up, and I don't know, the way I remember it, we were sitting around my parents' kitchen talking about different ideas. And, you know, that's when Jeff shared where he was at and, you know, thought maybe there was an opportunity there. But Jeff, I don't know, it might be good just talk a little bit about where you found yourself and where the idea came from.
Yeah, because this is all about making kids career ready, college ready.
Yeah.
We're talking about kids in high school, or are we talking K-12? What are we talking about here, Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is K-12, and that's
okay.
A great point, Larry. And you know, when we got started, we never would have imagined that we'd be helping students out at the kindergarten grade one level with career development. And that really is a reflection of how far the field has come over the years. So yeah, like many, as you say, I graduated without a sense of what to do next, and you know, really should have given much more serious consideration to what I wanted to do and what I was all about and that sort of thing. And so we just felt like there was a real opportunity to help others in the same situation. And fortunately it caught on, you know, our hunch was right. There were a lot of people who could benefit from this
wow.
kind of help.
Well, what's
yeah.
the history? When did you guys get, when were you talking at your mom's kitchen table? When was that?
That would be, we're going back into the archives. I would think that was, that was probably 94, literally 1994,
wow.
95.
25
yeah.
years, man. 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is that right? No. Yeah. 25
yeah.
years.
But, well, we don't need to talk about the total.
Right. And you haven't aged a bit. And as you walk into the Accelo World headquarters, is there a full-scale diorama with life-size dummies of you guys talking at Mom's Kitchen? Is this something I was doing?
We got to think about that when we go back in the office. I don't know why that's not there, Larry.
It should
idea.
Be. If I just been at the Accelo World Museum, and don't use real food. You just use fake pancakes. Okay? Right. And by the way, Jeff, I just want to say something. I know you're Canadian, and I congratulate you. You said about as opposed to a boot, so I'm very happy.
Oh, thanks. And
no
Larry,
problem.
I don't think you're not too far away from the border, I think, in Maine. Is
no,
that
I'm
right?
in Maine. I'm near Quebec. I'm about 4 hours from both Quebec and New Brunswick, which I
okay.
wish I could go to, but the damn border's closed still. Okay.
Yeah,
we
look forward
here.
To being able to – hopefully we can travel again soon.
Yeah, you guys are in Toronto, right?
That's
yeah.
right.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Great city, man.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of fun there over the years. Okay, let's talk about this. It's a K-12 program, all right, that Accelo World has. Okay, again, it's X-E-L-L-O. All right, so talk to me about what that program is, and I'll swing you. I'll do Matt this time, okay? Matt, talk about what this is and who should know about it within a school district.
Sure. So in terms of what it is, you know, kids as they're growing up, they often get the question, what are you going to do when you grow up? And
right.
that's a pretty intimidating question. I think it causes a lot of high anxiety for kids. So ultimately what Zello is supposed to do is help students, regardless of their background, their ability, or their pathway, better understand themselves, explore their options, and build a plan for future success. And try to also help them understand that that plan is not set in stone. It's a point in time. It's the plan that you have today, but that plan can always change, because I think, you know, as when you're younger, you worry about closing doors and you don't want to do that too soon. So what we want to encourage people is to think about, okay, that's what you're thinking about right now, but don't worry, that can always change. So really that's the idea. It's an online program and it is K-12. And, you know, in terms of who that's targeted towards, Jeff, do you want to talk a little bit about that part?
Go ahead, Jeff, please.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, really anyone in a school system that's focused on career development, it tends not to be concentrated in just one department. So obviously career counseling very much involved, school counseling very much involved.
Yeah.
Career and technical education, lots of, you know, career development work is happening within CTE, which is great. And
absolutely.
And it can happen can happen in core curriculum as well. And so, you know, it's a great thing, but it is also a challenge. We often find ourselves trying to knit together different groups within a school district to have a really unified approach to implementation and just try to get people out of those silos. Each of those groups can use the program in different ways. And the more touches that students get, you know, during a year, the better. I think, you know, as Matt said, our focus is really on helping students understand, you know, who they are, because that self-knowledge is the foundation that students need to make good choices. It's really hard to figure out your future if you don't understand yourself and what you would be interested in. So building that foundation of self-knowledge, and then helping them explore options. There's so many options out there in the world of work, and that's a double-edged sword, because it's great to have choice and the opportunity to find your place and find the right fit, but it also means there's a lot of complexity. You know, there's a lot of things to learn about, a lot of different options to explore to find the one that's right for you. So, you know, when you think about that 4K-12 approach, it is so important, because we don't want students just to encounter these activities at decision points, like, you know, pick a college or pick your courses for next year or pick a pathway. You know, by then it's really too late, because they're being forced to make a decision and maybe they haven't done all that preparation work. So we love that K-12 approach, where it's a kind of always on activity. Students are developing these capabilities, developing that self-knowledge over time.
Right. It's so important. I wrote down, and you brought it up, Jeff, okay, what Matt said, that key phrase, understanding yourself. And I was on your website, again, Excello.world, and you had a bullet point there about social-emotional learning. Mm-hmm. And social-emotional learning, as you guys well know, and my audience well knows, at least most of it, is understanding yourself and being able to have the skills to get to live your life appropriately, all right, which is key stuff. Do you guys consider yourselves, I'll go back to Matt here, an SEL program, which is very, very important these days for school districts? Matt.
For sure. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of crossover. When you look what someone – What's that?
I was agreeing with you. I said, yes, there is.
There's in sort of two different ways. One is that if you look at the skills and knowledge someone needs to have in place in order to do good career development, you know, a number of those skills are also skills that you need to be social-emotionally literate and successful.
Sure.
So, you know, there's definitely crossover. The other part that I think is really important is that for someone to be able to plan for the future, they need to be in the right mental headspace. If you're feeling like, if you're feeling under siege, if you're feeling anxious, if you're battling on a day-to-day basis with forces that, you know, you're trying to overcome, but you just can't see your way past, in other words, that student needs help, they can't plan for the future. Right, it's just something that on the hierarchy of needs it goes down the ladder. So you know, I feel like we're a natural partner for social emotional learning, but I don't feel like we're a replacement. We're definitely connected. A strong social emotional learning program in a school can greatly benefit students that are using Xello, and I think in some ways we can help as well. With some of those skills, reinforce them and develop them further.
Right, and it's really excellent. I'm going to ask you. So, how does it's understanding yourself? Do you actually review different careers with students? How does it actually work once you're in the program, if I may ask? And I'll swing to Jeff this time. Okay, who has degree in economics?
Yeah, so for sure.
Guns and butter.
And I'm really
Let me
glad.
Just reiterate, guns and butter. We'll just go on.
Thanks for the
reminder. Of economics. Yeah, thank you.
I'll just say I'm really glad you picked up on the connection between career development and social emotional learning, right?
Yeah.
It is a great opportunity to do two things
it's
at once.
It's rare
and
I hear that.
They're so connected.
By the way, I got to tell you, I do a lot of work with SEL, okay, and SEL companies. But it's rare that connection is made, and that's an incredibly important connection. We're all talking about college and career ready, college and career ready. And then you also talk about, in a separate silo, SEL. Okay?
But that's in
reality, if you don't understand yourself, you aren't going to go anywhere. You might think you'd be the greatest veterinarian in the world, but if you stink at chemistry and biology, I'm just using this as an example, you're not going to be a great vet. You might love pets, but get licked by your dog but you're not going to be, you know what I mean? You have to understand yourself as you pick your career. So I love that connection. So if I may continue, what is it actually like? What's going on in the program?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you think about, you know, starting with the who am I phase, so really understanding yourself. So, you know, we know in career development, there's a long history of you know, career assessments. So interest assessments, personality style assessments, you know, learning style assessments. So there are assessment tools in there that students can use to gain some insights into themselves. But then there's lots of other places where we make it really easy for students just to inventory information about themselves. So document any extracurricular activities, any experiences that they enjoy, any hobbies that they like, interests, skills. It's just really easy for students to put that information into the program on an ongoing basis. And we give them like a language to work with. So if you ask younger students, you know, what skills do you have? You're going to get a lot of blank stares because that's a hard thing to figure out. You know, so if you can give them a nice tick list, it's really easy for them to go through and say, oh, these are social skills. I had no idea that it was, you know, maintaining a relationship with a friend is something that requires skills. So we make it really easy for them to gather all that information about themselves, and that's the foundation. Then when it comes to exploring your options, we give students an opportunity to explore careers in a really fun and engaging way. So we have photographs of people at work. We interview real people in each career. Students can look through all of that content. They can search for careers that they may have heard of. They can even link from a favorite school subject to related careers and then go and just explore those careers, save careers that they're interested in. So, you know, it starts with that, building up that foundation of self-knowledge, easy access to all the different options in the world of work, making it fun and interesting and engaging to you know, check out those careers and learn about them. And then the third part is where it gets into more, you know, building a plan, right? So you know, what are some goals that you may want to set for yourself, be it a career goal or an education goal? And then, you know, working in education, there are components that are very, you know, education-driven and workflow-driven. So a couple of the core workflows that we support in the program are course planning and selection. So as you're figuring out your career plan, what courses should you be taking now to make sure that you get to where you want to go? And so building that course plan in conjunction with your career planning. And then the other major workflow is just for students who are going to college, how do you manage that process? How do you manage your documents? How do you make sure you're not missing any deadlines? And so we have a lot of tools there to help students and counselors really stay on track with that piece.
It's really excellent, I got to tell you. And who, okay, a school district actually purchases Accelo, am I correct? And makes it available to the students? Is that the way it works?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Again, you're working with big districts. I just want to make sure about this. Hold on for one sec. Had a cough. It's this allergy thing I'm having today. Okay, so pardon me for that. Let me ask you before I cough again. How's this working out curriculum-wise in the school districts that you're working with? In other words, where does it fit in? Okay, who's doing it? I know you said the school counselor. Talk further into it. Please, guys. I'll ask Jeff. Jeff, stay with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the things that we really have to do, so we have all this full suite of tools that districts can use. You know, most states are going to have career development policy, career education policy that's been written, and some of it is, you know, has very strict requirements, very specific requirements in terms of what districts can do. So we typically start there. We need to understand what these districts are trying to accomplish. And it, again, it may be dictated by state policy. It may also be dictated by district priorities. So we really start with what they want to accomplish. And then that, you know, that points us in the direction of what we need to help them do in the program. A big thing for us is setting up a scope and sequence of activities. So grade by grade, what, you know, what do they need to accomplish? Here's what, for example, grade 8 students are doing. They're doing these three lessons. So there's an integrated curriculum. They're doing these three lessons, let's say, in grade 9, these lessons in grade 10, and these lessons in grade 11. And here's maybe where those are going to take place. Some of them could be self-directed activities that students do on their own. Some are going to happen in homeroom. Some are going to happen in their CTE class. So helping them understand exactly you know, where these activities should get completed. So that's kind of, you know, how it works at a high level.
Yeah, and of course, with all the experience that you guys have had with all the districts you work with over 25 years, you're able to help any new district, okay, in terms of planning where to use it. It all just makes sense. So, Matt, talk about this crazy year, okay, the last 18 months. And Canada is still going through it even more locked down than the U.S. is. We're loosening up a little more than I think Canada is right now. I think all the kids are going to go back to school next year, right, in Canada? Am I correct, Matt? What's the game plan?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody's going to go back next year. Hopefully they'll open the border soon and my life will get back to normal, okay, which will be excellent.
Yeah.
And I can get up to New Brunswick, okay, through St. Andrews, on the Bay of Fundy, which I really love up there, okay? And so talk to me about, okay, I lost my train of thought for a second. Talk to me about, how the pandemic has affected, okay, what you guys are doing, because things are different all of a sudden, all right? And also the other thing is we also say that we're trying to train students now for jobs that we don't even have never heard of yet, jobs that don't even exist yet, okay, which is why I want to get back to what you said at the beginning about understanding yourself, all right, as we move forward. So put it in context of this last horror of the 18 months, Matt.
Sure, for sure. Well, I think there's sort of two parts to the story. One is on the ground, what happened with districts that are using Velo, and how were they impacted? How were students impacted
Absolutely.
In terms of, you know, how they use Velo? That would be the first one. And then I think the broader questions that you raised are really interesting as well. What we've seen in terms of on the ground is that we know school districts have done unbelievable, they've moved mountains, to be honest, just dealing with trying to make sure that kids are getting the education that they would normally. And that has put enormous strain on educators, on administrators, on everyone within the system just to deliver the core curriculum. So, you know, what I would have expected was that Zello took a backseat because we're not core curriculum. We're often something that is, you know, it's a priority, but it's not math. It's not, I know you're a social studies teacher. It's not social studies. So that wasn't the case. To be honest, I actually feel like the individuals responsible for delivering Zello have been heroes. Like they really have done everything they can to keep Zello front and center for students and try to make sure that they are, you know, getting full value out of the program. So I think that's incredible. If we look at our usage from last year to this year, it did dip down a little bit on an average student basis, but not by much. So that really surprised me and encouraged
wow.
me. And I think, you know, just generally following up on what Jeff said, the most important thing for Zello to be successful is that the leadership team, right up to the superintendent, believe that what we're doing is important for students. And I sort of attribute our success this year to the fact that, you know, we do have that buy-in with leadership. You know, you mentioned Osceola, an amazing group down there that are working fellow. And, you know, without them, we wouldn't be anywhere. So that's really important. But that was sort of the impact on the ground. In terms of, like, what it's done in for individual students, I mean, I think the jury's still a little bit out. I think the most interesting thing for me from a career development perspective is it feels like COVID has given permission for students to think out of the box about their futures.
Great point.
And not
great point.
About four-year college, right? It doesn't have to be four-year college. You may not go to college. You may go another route. You might want to take some time off. It's sort of like our whole way of life has been questioned, I think, through this period.
It's true.
And yeah, so I think that's trickled down to kids, and I think, you know, maybe more of them will take different pathways or not just follow blindly where they may have in the past.
Right, and I don't want to say this the right way. They talked a lot about learning loss, all right?
Yeah.
And that's been the phrase of the year, okay, which I disagree with 100%, Okay. Right. I believe they're mixing up learning loss with curriculum loss.
Right.
Okay? Kids are learning. All right?
Yeah.
And as long as they're learning something, we're in good shape. They don't have to worry about the causes of the War of 1812 in a
right.
crazy time like this. Okay?
Right.
What they have to worry about is, how's this going to affect my future? Okay?
Yeah.
And the point is that this allowed, as nuts as it is, the teachers, the educators, to get involved in some of the things. Like you said, everybody can work a little bit outside of the box because, as a matter of fact, we were outside of the box.
Yeah.
Okay? Suddenly everything was different. All right? And I hate to say it, but it gave us the freedom to think differently.
Exactly.
Okay? And I think to get all this done is really, really, really important. Okay? And this is a great program. Okay, because it's exactly what schools are really about. They're about getting people to be good citizens and get them ready for a career. That's what schools are about.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we hopefully we're getting by with all this. I got to ask you guys something. My standing joke was going to be, when you planned out the program, was it just list all the things that Jeff did and then do the opposite? I was thinking about that as a way the company started. Is that true, Jeff?
It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea. It would have been a lot easier. Okay, but my question is, how did both of you, this is cool, you really understand education, okay? And one was a business major, the other was an economics major, okay? And suddenly you find yourselves totally immersed in K-12 education, okay?
Yeah.
How'd you get the hang of this and learn it and see what educators and kids need? I'll throw this one over to Jeff. Okay. By the way, supply and demand. I also remember that from Samuelson.
Okay.
So you know.
Yeah. It works. It's a great.
Yes.
It's a great question, Larry. I mean, I love it. You know, and I'll just say, I know Matt feels the same way. It's an absolute privilege to be working in education. I mean, you know, it's incredible. And for us, it was just listen, you know, in the early days, just listen. Educators will tell you what they need. If you ask the right questions and you listen. And so we have learned so much from them, just being involved with them, listening carefully to what their needs are. You know, that's what it's been all about. And just trying to position ourselves as a partner to work together and help them serve their students as best they can. So yeah, we had a lot to learn, but it's fantastic things to learn about. It's incredibly fun to learn about, and education is very dynamic. You know, everything you say about how educators reacted during the pandemic is just so true. And a lot of times the knock on education is that it's so conservative and so slow to change, but you can see the kind of response that happened and the kind of creativity that happened when the pandemic came. I mean, it's absolutely there. It's a very dynamic field. And so, you know, it's a lot of listening and learning, Larry, and it's just a lot of fun.
It is. And everybody, by the way, as I said at the beginning of the show, with our Consortium for Equity and Access, we believe, okay, in educator voice. They have a lot to say. But we also believe in industry voice, because they want to listen to you, okay, literally you, okay, and hear what other school districts are doing, how you're manipulating and working your program, et cetera. This is so important to remember that you have a lot more to offer than just being a sales call, okay, once a year, okay? And I always say that whenever I'm talking to a company in education. I got to ask you this. You must have, over 25 years, your favorite stories about working with a school district, okay? I'm going to throw this one to Matt. Matt, can you think of any like anecdotal stories that pop to mind, your favorite examples?
You know, I think Jeff probably has the best story from his time in New York City working with the alternative schools. That one's one that might take a little too long. But for me, you know, when I think about my career, kind of what goes through my mind are all the people that helped us along the way that made it possible. There are so many points where things could have gone in different directions. And, you know, there were a lot of educators that believed in us and believed in what we were doing. And, you know, at crucial moments, like I can remember a time here in Ontario where we were completely broke. We'd lost an RFP for the province of Ontario. And, you know, I didn't really know what our future was, but I had felt like the RFP wasn't fairly written. So I wrote a letter to the purchasing group and said, you know, here's where I think there were problems. We respect your decision. But, you know, if in future you're writing RFPs, just keep this thing in mind. I wasn't challenging the RFP, but I was just saying I really feel like this was you might be better off in future taking a different course. And the person in charge of the process rescinded the RFP, and we did a new one, and we won.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow.
And I always thought, like, that person –
Holy
you know, they did something amazing, and in the end, I think it really did benefit students. But without that person, you know, we could have been in, I don't know what would have happened. So, but that's just one example. There are many along those lines.
Example.
So, yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship, right? Like it's the educators are trying their best for the kids. They're often under, you know, huge budget constraints. Very difficult to make even mini transformations, which is kind of what is required for Zello. So that's kind of what goes through my head.
Thank you. That was a fun and great example. Jeff, did you have an example? You worked with alternative schools in New York City. Who did you work with?
Yeah, I mean, there used to be the New York City education system has been reorganized since then, but there used to be a group of about 90 schools, and it was called the New York City Alternative Schools. And this was, you know, it was probably a mixed bag of schools. At the high end, I think some were, you know, very college focused, very high achieving schools. There were also schools that were, in correctional facilities for youth. And so, you know, it was the early days of education technology, and there was a really passionate educator in that district. And this is, you know, we were just getting going in the market, really. And just an educator who had a real passion for helping kids, and he was really focused on the schools that were in the correctional facilities, and he was trying out our program. He was having great success. He saw how these kids were reacting to conversations about their future and thinking about their options. And so he advocated so hard for us, brought us in to give a demonstration to decision makers for the whole district. And it's really hard to get things implemented in a big city like New York. I mean, you probably know that. To mobilize the IT people and the instructional people and even to get approval from finance and all those hurdles you have to go through. So really just on through the passion of that educator, through the results he was seeing with his students, you know, we were able to make it happen. And again, that was a pretty pioneering effort at that time. And it was very successful. They did a great job rolling it out to their students. So, yeah, I mean, that's one example. Anytime we have a chance to stand kind of shoulder to shoulder with educators and make good things happen, it feels great.
You know, that's a great story. You brought up an interesting point that it was schools for kids who were in jail, all right? And I got news for you. Most of those kids were probably black or Latino, and most of them probably came from poor families. And here was a teacher who was trying to really give them a chance to make a life for themselves, all right? That's all about what we do, which is all about equity and access to things, all right? And if you can, Matt, I'll throw this one to Matt. Matt, without putting you on the spot here, can you put your company, Zello, in the equity spotlight? Can you kind of meld those two together for us?
Well, I think what I can say is that prior to Zello, we had a program called Career Cruising. And about 5 years ago, we decided, you know what? Career Cruising wasn't doing what it needs to do. We need to change everything. We need to start over. And in starting over, we said, you know what? To do this better, we need to bring students into the picture. We need to talk to students day in, day out. So we started bringing students into our office, interviewing them over the internet. And we had different sort of personas of the kinds of students that would be using Zello. And so we came to understand that, you know, there's always going to be that top 10 or 20% that whether they have Zello or not, they're going to figure it out. They're going to be fine. And then you've got kids that are going to really, really struggle, right? Maybe that's 10 or 15, 20% of the students. And then there's a group of students, you know, in the middle who, you know, might just not really have a direction. They might not have a purpose. And so when we were building Zello, what we said is, you know what, those kids that are going to be fine, that's not really our target market. What we need to do is help all the kids that are struggling. That's what we're trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kids that we want to reach. And I keep thinking, you know, in my mind, when I think about a new feature, like, how is this going to be seen by, you know, a student that, you know, is in an inner city environment, they're coming from a poor family, right? How are they going to react to a concept like gap year?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is gap year going to resonate with that kid? Maybe not, right? So that's, you know, just how we think about the software and what it's designed
yeah.
to accomplish.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's
yeah.
the person we need to reach, get them excited, because if that person suddenly feels like they have a direction, a purpose, and a plan, everything will get better for them. They'll know why
that's
they're
right.
going to. You know, that's
right.
the goal.
You know, and we call our magazine Equity and Access. And what you guys are giving them, okay, what Zello gives them, is access to understanding themselves and understanding how that becomes a career. And that's for
yeah.
every kid, be they urban, rural, whatever. Okay, and it's what you do is right in that equity area. Jeff, you agree? You want to add anything to all this?
Yeah, 100%. I agree. It's really at the core of what we do. You know, providing students with, you know, regardless of their background, with the opportunity
yeah.
to find their fit. You know, one of the things we talk about a lot at Zello is the concept of all students and all pathways, right? So every student should see an opportunity for themselves here, and it can be all different pathways. And I think just that whole concept of it's not a one-size-fits-all, it's not a reinforcement of the college-going culture, it's not, you know, taking you necessarily the same place your parents went.
Yep.
You know, it's showing you that you're an individual. Let's understand who you are, and that there are all kinds of different places that you can take your life. There's lots of different options for you, and let's find the right fit. So I think that's a really important concept for us. And then, you know, some of the other things that are really important are accessibility, obviously, just making
yeah.
the experience, you know, easy for everyone to access. And
that's right.
things like reading level, use of infographics and images, working on all devices, you know, compatibility with assistive technology, things like that are all critical for us. So yeah, we see this absolutely at the core of what we do. It's creating opportunity for students, for all students.
It really does, and a key word, all students, or words, all students. I mean, it just fits in beautifully with what every school district, equity and access being top of mind at every school district these days. I was just doing a show earlier with the Elementary School Principals Association, and when I asked Principal Andy, who was on the show representing them, what's the top thing next year, and he says equity. That's what we're focused on at his school, and it's right. You guys are presenting a product that's right in line with what school districts need right now. So I got to tell you, we got to go. I can talk to you for hours more. Okay, I assume you'll be working on the lobby diorama fairly soon of the original meeting.
Yeah. Give us a little time. It'll be coming.
I can't wait. Someday when the border opens, I'll come up there. I'm sure it'll become a tourist attraction. Okay,
I'm thinking
you're sitting there.
Yeah, the Disney World.
You get a little robot
Disney
thing, you know, where you actually
yeah.
eat the pancakes or chicken soup. That would be very good. Okay, it's good stuff. Matt, Jeff, you guys are great. I'll give it a plug before we're done, and we'll be in touch. Okay.
Thank you so much, Larry. Great to talk to you.
The pleasure, Larry. Thanks
so
much.
Have a great weekend. Okay. Enjoy one of my favorite places, Toronto, and maybe someday we'll be able to do Hands Across the Border again. I hope so. Okay, sooner than later.
Us too.
Okay?
Us too. Take care, Larry. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Matt McQuillan, Jeff Harris, okay, at Zello or XLO, X-E-L-L-O dot world. Check it out. Okay? That's good stuff. Okay? Zello dot world. Very good stuff. Well, okay, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Go over there, see what we do, read our magazine, listen to any podcast, etc. This one will be up there very soon. My name's Larry Jacobs, wishing you a good weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks, everybody.